That was beautiful. And you know, that's what the goal is today, is that our hearts will be knit closer to the Lord. We want to have fun. We want to grow. We want to learn things. We want some practical tips. But really, it is about the sweet hymn. And that's what it's all about. That was just beautiful. I've been saved for, if you remember from last year, one of the things that Lyme did, it damaged part of my brain, and I can't do anything with numbers. So I was saved in 82, so that will tell you how long I've been saved. I'm not exactly how sure. And you know, I still haven't got over it. I haven't got over it yet. And I hope I never do. I hope I never, Lord, keep me from going to church and plopping down and thinking, oh, that was a boring sermon, or that special was too long, or those announcements or too many birthdays, and then walking out and getting my car and driving home to a pot roast. Lord, keep me from that. Keep me from that. Keep me from hungering and thirsting after you and being close to you. It is all about a relationship, girls. We do talk about a lot of things to do. I was thinking about this dear lady who's brand spanking new, and she's probably thinking, her head's swirling. She's going, King James Bible, sing this song, sit over there, stand up, sit down, do four push-ups. I mean, her head is like spinning around. She's thinking, I can't do all this stuff. You never could, because he did. All it is a relationship. And just like I'm very close to my daughter, Boo. Where'd you go, Boo? Oh, thank you. I want to make sure you're in here, not outside about with the three boys I heard about you sitting by. Yeah, see, there's some advantages. Miss Wendy calls me, and she says, we hadn't seen Elizabeth this week. So, yeah, I know when you're in church and when you're not and who you sit with, and if you're drinking Starbucks, and if you're late, saw your Sunday school teacher. Yeah, I know. Anyway, told you I'm the bad mother. I don't care. No guilt. Thank you for having this meeting. You know, ladies' meetings are dying out because less and less are coming. And so the expense and the work, it's like, oh, we won't have it this year. We'll just go to hers. So thank you so much, Wendy. I know you head up a lot of it. And thank you for letting your church all go over for it. And beautiful decorating. You spoil me rotten, but I want to get right into it. When I got sick 4 years ago, I got Lyme, and it took away, I guess, whatever I thought I was. I couldn't work. I couldn't cook. Thank God. Couldn't clean. Yay. Couldn't talk on the phone. Couldn't watch anything. I didn't know how to read. I couldn't speak. My daughter was in her senior year of college, and she basically had to come home and take care of me for 2 years. I couldn't drive for years. I couldn't go to church for years. I was physically a physical, mental wreck, and have come out of it. And those of you who saw me last year, this year I walked through the airport and didn't need a wheelchair. So yes, I am advancing, and I can drive a little bit more, but I still am not where I was. And sometimes I feel inadequate. I can't do things. I can't. Even my speaking today, earlier, I asked my daughter, and I asked Wendy, did I make sense? Because I don't have, my short-term memory is gone. And I have to just pray and beg God and say, God, I've prepared. I want to say what you want to say, but I have no memory of what I say. And I hope, I always just say, Lord, I just have to give it to you. But I feel very inadequate. And I've learned not to compare myself to you. I'm not going to be able to play the piano and sing, and I'm not going to be able to organize like you, and I'm not going to be able to sew like you, and I'm not a soul winner like you, and I don't know my Bible verse. So a lot of my Bible memory's gone. I'm having to memorize Bible again, and it's hard. I'm really struggling. I mean, the hit parade in Philippians, you know, I know a handful of verses now, and but I've learned not to compare myself to you. You might know 400 verses. I'm working on 4. But I've learned you don't compare yourself to each other. Isn't that what God says? But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And that's Galatians 6:4. We've learned that. But you know what I found I was doing? I was comparing myself to Super Robin. why can't I have the clean house? I almost fell under the pew when she said that about a clean house. I'm the one who throws everything in the shower and shuts the curtain when people come over. Kick everything under the couch. I have one of those mop things that's flat and you can go like this, and I go like that and put it under the couch, and once a week I move the couch. It works. It works for me. But I compare myself to me, and boy, I should be soul winning. I should be reading my Bible every day. I should pray every day. I should be in church every time the doors are open, and I should look good and be a size 6 or 8 and have cute high heels, and I need to have my hair done, and all these things that are super Robin. I compare myself to me, and I'm disappointed in myself. And I had to learn, I can't keep up with her. And I've heard the term fake it till you make it, but I couldn't find that in the Bible. I don't know where that is. But what I found in the Bible is that God knows my heart. And although I am very limited in what I can do, I'm unlimited in my heart for the Lord. So I want to talk about that today, is the struggle we have over the things we do. Really, our struggle should be is our heart with the Lord. That should be our struggle. So we're going to pray, and we're going to get right into that. Dear Jesus, you're so good to us, and thank you that you see our hearts. You see our love for you. You see our care for you. Help us all to draw nigh unto you today because of this little talkie. In Jesus' name, amen. I found some verses. Exodus 35:25, and I'm going to turn in my Bible. Oh, that was another thing. I forgot where all the books of the Bible were. So I had to learn the little song again. I know the New Testament. I don't know the Old Testament. But you know what? He still loves me. He says, that's okay. You'll learn them. That's why God made a table of contents. You can go to the front and find where it is and turn to that page. And you all can do that too. It's okay if I don't remember things like that. Exodus 35:25. We're going to talk about some women's hearts. God said in verse 25, and all the women that were wise-hearted, and it says did spin with their hands. I'm having trouble reading today, but I'll read that part you got. Who they wanted to work on the tabernacle were wise-hearted women, having a wise heart. Wise is knowing the truth and doing it. Knowing the truth and doing it. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, he that winneth souls is wise. So in my, it doesn't say that how many I win makes me wise. It's that if I go and tell others about Christ, I can be wise. And I want to have a wise heart to be close to God. When we have a fall campaign, and so we do a lot of soul winning, telling others about Christ. So me and a girlfriend went over to this, a little bit of a project area where we live, and it's all these apartments. And so what we were doing is we were door knocking and inviting people to church. And of course, if the Lord made an opportunity, we were going to go soul winning. So in order to get more done, she was over there, and I've told these stories before. If you were in a teenage last year, you get to hear it again. But it was on my heart. So there's a row of buildings here and a row of buildings here, and I'm knocking here, and my friend's knocking there, and I'm knocking on doors, and I go to walk over there, and there was a little playground, and they had one of the old-fashioned merry-go-rounds. And I looked at it, and there was 4 boys sitting on it, so teenage boys, thug boys. Yes, I did judge them. I'm horrible. And I gave them each a track, and one threw it on the ground, and one ripped it up, and one said, I'm going to be in hell with my friends, that type thing. And so I said, okay, you know, whatever. So I go over here, and I'm knocking on the doors, and a couple seconds later, I hear a little girl crying. And what had happened is a little girl had got on the merry-go-round, and those boys were pushing her as fast as they could, and it was spinning around and around and around, and she was crying for them to get off. So I turned around, and I was going to say something like, come on, guys. And she jumped off. And she went in the grass and tumbled, and she stood up, and she was just bawling and went down and around, you know, the way to go home. And I thought, you know, you don't think things like that. I do. And so I'm not going to, about a minute later, this big guy comes around the thing holding the little girl's hand who's still crying, and he says, Did you boys mess with my daughter? Did she said you pushed him on the merry-go-round too fast? And they said, no, we didn't. Well, I'm over here. I go, yes, they did. Yes, they did. They did it. I saw it, so I'm walking over. And he said, how'd you like me to push you somewhere? And, oh, this is great. But then the manager came out, and he said, I've called the police. Oh, called the police. So now I'm really excited. So I'm right over there. And yeah, I saw the whole thing. I'm a witness. Yeah, I'll give my statement. I'm ready. I was like, felt like I was part of CSI. It was so exciting. So the police came and they took my statement. I said, yes, I saw the whole thing. And the police came, and two of them had warrants out on them. So they're handcuffing them, and there's like two squad cars, and of course, in apartment complexes, you know, there's like 100 people, it seems like, come out, and they're all standing there, and I'm the key witness to the whole thing. And so they got the two guys handcuffed and the other guys, and they're going to put him in the car. So they're standing there, and there's the big dad and little girl crying. And I said, excuse me, officers, before they go to the big house, can I talk to them? He says, sure, you can. So I said, boys, I know you didn't have time earlier to talk to me. But let me tell you about Jesus. And I told him about the Lord. And if you will trust Christ as your Savior, we can bow our heads right now. And, you know, I went through the whole thing thoroughly. All the people in the apartment were standing there. I said, let's just bow our heads right now. If you will trust Christ as your Savior, and you want, you know, repeat this prayer, not to me, to the Lord, dear Jesus. And this boy said, dear Jesus. And the other boy in cuffs said, dear Jesus. And the other boy said, dear Jesus. And the other boy said, dear Jesus. And the dad said, dear Jesus. And this policeman said, dear Jesus. And this policeman and that lady and this lady and that lady. We had revival right there at the CSI scene. The week before last, we had a special service for our police and our first responders. And we were at a big table and we were eating, and a man, I was sitting at the table with the first responders, and a man said, you don't remember me. He said, but 7 years ago, I got saved at that incident. I can't do a lot of what I think Super Robin can do, or she can do, but I can tell others about Christ. I can tell others about Christ. I want to be a wise woman. I want to hang around wise people. I want to be in the book of wisdom. And he that winneth souls is wise. I'm trying to memorize my Bible again. It's horrible. I mean, I'm really working on it. I have little cards, and I have a girlfriend who goes over them with me. But I got to thinking, what if the only Bible the world could have is what I have memorized in my heart? How much would there be? If every Bible was outlawed, how much scripture would I have in my heart? I want to be a wise-hearted woman. That will draw me nigh unto Christ. Because what does it say in 1 John 1:1? What is this really? This is our Savior. In the beginning was the Word. This is our Savior, and I want to know this better. So I may not be able to do a lot of things that I used to be able to do, but I can work on being wise-hearted. Another one in Exodus 35, it's going to be on the same chapter, that God says, what kind of women can I use to build my tabernacle? What kind of women can I use to build the work for Christ? And he says in chapter 35, verse 26, and all the women whose heart stirred, a stirred heart. Stirred means a motivated attitude. Now, I realize we have all different personalities here. We have our introverts, extroverts, outerverts, I don't know. There's all kind of different personalities. But is your heart stirred for the work of God? Are you excited about doing things for him? Do you just want to get out there and visit, and you can't wait to tell the next person about your wonderful church and about your wonderful Lord? Are you stirred and are you excited? Like I said, it tells us in the Old Testament, come and see my zeal for the Lord. I want people to see what's in my heart. They can't see my heart, but I want my life to show them. I still am so excited about being saved. We were going to a church, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel a little bit intimidated to talk to people. Have you ever been there? And you think, I know God kind of wants to talk to me, that lady or that guy, but I have done that. I'm just being very candid here, but I'm trying to get over that so I can show my zeal. So I'm driving down my driveway, and at the top of the driveway, there was a fireman open up the fire hydrant, and God was like, go talk to that guy. I had a car full of my bratty kids, so I took him to the house, and I thought, if he's still there when I go pick up the other bratty kids from school, I will talk to him. So he was still there. So I got up, invited him to church. He came to church. He got saved. His wife got saved. So his wife's name was Michelle. So I said, Michelle, why don't you come? She was all excited. Oh, she just was like, oh, this is the best thing that ever happened, isn't it? Best thing that ever happened to you. And I said, let's come visiting with me. I've got a bus route. We'll go visiting the bus route. So we had this one family we visited every single week. It was a single mom, and her name was Vicky, and she had a son named Robert. And every week we invited Robert. And every week Vicky'd say, yeah, Robert's going to come. Robert's going to come, and he never came on the bus. You probably have never had that happen to you. People tell you they're going to come and never come. But it did happen to me. But I thought, I'm going to bring Michelle, and we're going to go visit Vicky, because she's nice, and we're going to have a great visit. So we go in there, and we knock on the door, and Vicky says, she's standing there, and I said, well, Vicky, we just came. This is my new friend, Michelle, and we thought we'd come visit you. And, you know, Michelle, this is brand new to her. She didn't know what's going on. I said, this is going to be so great. And so Vicky's kind of standing there, and I said, well, can we come in? That's what you say. Can we come in and visit you for a little bit? And she was just kind of darting her eyes, and she says, yeah, come on in. So we go in, and we're sitting on a couch, and it was, you know, she lived a different lifestyle than what we live in. You know, she probably hadn't had a mother or a grandmother to show her about housekeeping. She probably hadn't had a mother or a grandmother to show her how to care for her family and things like that. So we're sitting on this couch, and we sunk in real low, and the back of it was up here. We're looking around, so we're talking, and we're visiting, and saying, Vicky, how you doing? She said, oh, I am exhausted. I said, really, Vicky, what's going on? She said, well, those headlights keep me up all night. And so I'm looking, and her trailer was kind of faced to the front of the park, and I thought, oh, as everybody comes in, the headlights are keeping her up. And so I was like, oh, that's a shame. You know, maybe you could get some kind of shades or a blanket or something over there. And she just looked at me. So we're just sitting there, you know, real deep, you know, sinking deeper and deeper, me and Michelle. We're having a good time, and there's a knock on the door, and a girl came. She says, Vicky, I got your mail. The mailman came, and Vicky, and I said, well, hey, how you doing? Come on in. We're having a girl party. She said, I'm not coming in there. The whole thing's invested with head lice. She didn't say head light. The head lice were keeping her up. So I'm like, Vicky, is Robert coming tomorrow, this week on the bus? Okay, we got to go. Come on, Michelle. Now, Michelle is 9 months pregnant. I had just met her Sunday. This is Thursday. Get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the car right now. And I'm getting in the car. Now, I've had lice a million times since then in the ministry. Lice, worms, you name it. I've had it all. And it doesn't bother me anymore. I know where they sell the medicine, right at the drugstore. You know, Friday night is lice and worm medicine. So, you know, it's not a big deal anymore. But then it was a big deal. I had never had it before, and I just had this image, okay, you have to shave your whole body or something. I don't know what you got to do, but this is bad. So we're driving in the car, and we're both going, oh. And so I look at her, and I say, I just met this girl. I said, we cannot pick up our kids from school. So I'm going to call my friend. She'll get her kids. I said, Wanda Evans, pick up my kids from school. Bring them to your house. I have head lice all over me. So She's cared for. I said, Michelle, we're going to go to the drugstore. So we go to the drugstore. I didn't know what to buy. I buy all this stuff for the car, for our bodies, for our hair, for our clothes, for the rugs, everything. Buy all this big buggy stuff we get in the car. 8 months, she's 8, 9 months pregnant, just met her. We go to my house. This is January. I say, my washer and dryer's in the garage. I said, okay, come in the garage, we're not going to my house. Take off your clothes. I said, we're not going in my house and we gotta wash all our clothes, so just strip down right here. Just get naked. So, okay, so we're both standing there. Are you there with me, girl? This is the, you think you have it bad. Yeah, just saved, Sunday. Take off all your clothes and we're gonna wash our hair out here in the sink. And so we're standing there, just met this girl. Our clothes are in the washer with the bug medicine. She's standing there, I'm standing there with a head full of stuff you gotta set on 10 minutes. So, yep, it's been about 5 minutes. We got about five more. We'll be okay. Sprayed out the whole car. Got it, though. That girl's a missionary in Haiti right now. With her husband, and she's probably telling the same story. But I was so excited for her to come with me and serve God with me, and it was so fun and thrilling, and that's how our hearts should be. Our hearts should be stirred to want to go do things, to get to those people, and that's where you get the experience of what God has for you. There's downtown in our town, there's some really very destitute apartments, probably the worst apartments, the slumlord apartments in our town. And every so often I go and visit them. Me and my girlfriend were going to the combo. There's like six apartments. It's not that many. We were going to go there one night. It had been about 4 or 5 months, and there's such a changeover. But on the way there, I don't know about your town, but my town, people will put stuff out like on the side of the road, and it means they don't want it anymore, and you can take it. You know, sometimes it's a chair, or I got some Tupperware the other day. I couldn't believe it. Tupperware. Who gets rid of Tupperware? But I did. I got Tupperware and one of those hamburger press things. I don't know how to do it yet, but I'm gonna look on YouTube. And I got a hamburger press thing. And so there was a big pile of stuff, and there's like five bags. So I thought, wow, let's go. And one bag had all these knitting needles and yarn, and I used to know how to knit. I'm going to learn one day again. And then there was another bag of like all these clothes and another bag of papers and magazines. So I'm opening up the trunk and thinking, yeehaw. Well, my girlfriend's with me and she's saying, Robin, there's medicine in here. Who would throw away their medicine? I said, somebody's just thrown their stuff out here. That nobody would throw away their medicine. I said, well, I don't have time to sort through it now. We're supposed to be soul winning. You know, throw it in the back of the truck. Throw it in the trunk. So then we go to this apartment complex and we're visiting. I knock on the door and there's like about 10 people in there. So I say, hi, I'm Robin. I'm visiting for the church. Just want to invite y'all to come. And the girl was like this. I said, honey, are you okay? She said, I just had a gallbladder surgery. Her name was Minnie. She said, I just had gallbladder surgery. I said, you did? Now, years ago when I was 18 and 19, I was in the Army, and I went in the Army, and they taught me how to be a nurse. So although I do not work as a nurse now, you know, I'll just say, oh, I'm very interested in, you know, your cuts. So later on, if you want to line up, I'll look at any of your illnesses. I kind of like it. Tell you if you have a broken foot, broken toe. Oh, I don't know if I have time. Nope. Anyway, so... I was going to tell you this story about, I have to tell you, it's so funny because Anna and Boo hadn't heard this one. Went to see Tracy. Now, this is my oldest son who's 37. He works at a church in Arkansas. I went there. She said, my girlfriend just called me, and she really hurt her toe really bad, and so I'm going to bring her over some donuts, which I don't understand the correlation, but I like it. So I said, okay, let's go. So we go in, and she's sitting there, and her foot is swollen up like a football. So right away, I just get down on the ground. And I'm like, oh, my, what happened in all this? Oh, you poor thing. Well, she didn't know who I was. And she didn't know that I was a nurse. And so later on, I said, I am so embarrassed that you just thought a stranger came in and started playing with your feet. She said, I just thought you were really nice.
anyway, back to Minnie.
So I said, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm a nurse. You know, what kind of surgery do you have? I just like that kind of stuff. So she picks up her shirt, and she says, what do you think about my incision? It was right over here. So, you know, like, well, you know, I said, it looks fine to me. I'm not a doctor, and I don't have x-ray eyes, but that looks fine to me. And so then everybody was all perked up. So this other guy, he says, you know, I've been having problems with my prostate. Prostate. So I said, well, you know, pumpkin seeds are good for that. So then this other guy says, and I know there's not, he says, you know, I got something wrong with me. And these people are serious as a heart attack. I mean, no mouse. And he takes his pants. And he, like, no, nothing hanging out, but, and he's like, he says, I think I got some kind of rash or something going on there. He's like, well, buddy, I think you got scabies, but I'm not sure. So then her mother says, I think our house is possessed. Could you go into all the rooms and exorcise our house? Sure. Of course I can. So I got my tracks out of my purse. I said, do you have any tape or push pins? She says, yes, I do. So I took my tracks and put them in every room. I said, the devil flees from God's word. There will be no more spirits in these rooms. So don't take those down. They all came to church that week, and then that a couple days later, we had our watch night service for New Year's Eve, and they all sat on, like, the whole crowd sat on two rows together. Now, let's rewind the story to how it started. What was I doing? Yeah. Well, the mother, another mother that was there, I said, well, is there anything else I could do for y'all while I'm here? She said, well, I could use a ride over to my daughter's house. She kicked me out of her house, and she threw all my stuff on the curb. And what was your name? I know where your stuff is. I'll go get it for you. But if your heart's not stirred, you're not even going to go to soul winning on Thursday night, Wednesday night, Saturday night. But then you also aren't going to see God open up the door to show his grace and love and care and light. You know, his light shines so much brighter in darkness. And it ended up, a couple of them ended up being incarcerated and moved and things like that, and we lost contact. But we had influence on that family for about a year. And the influence we had cannot be erased. I don't know where they are now or what they're doing now, but I know how we love them and how the Lord loves them is still there. But a heart that's stirred, do you have a passion? Oh, well, I'm saved. I'm glad. I'm on my way to heaven, and so is my husband and my kids and my grandma and my grandpa, my aunt, my uncle. And somebody's reaching the people who live over there in that apartment somewhere. That's not a stirred heart. I may not have a lot of Bible memory. I still can't add. I still struggle with dates. I still struggle driving. I can't watch things. I can't be on the phone too much. The iPad, all that is too much for me. But I can have a wise heart, and I can have a stirred heart. That isn't changed. That doesn't have to change, no matter who you are. And then in Exodus 35:29, God tells us about another heart of women he can use to build his tabernacle in the Old Testament and to build his work and Christ's church here. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. Willing to work. Do you have a heart that is willing to work? When we were driving over the other day, my daughter and I were discussing different areas you can serve in the ministry. There is nursery, and maybe there's a soup kitchen, and maybe some of us could help financially or give a ride. And then there's the whole thing in Baton Rouge, which I feel like maybe many of you might have helped with the flood. And we were discussing how do you decide where to give and what to do and how to do it. And what we came up with was we remembered Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. If you're doing it for Christ, you can't go wrong. You just can't do wrong being willing to work. Whoever God puts in your path and what God does put in your path, that's where you need to work. I have never been a great hostess, but I hope I'm a hostess that just relaxes. No matter what happens, you keep your head up and you're very relaxed. I think I told you this story before about how I can't cook. I'm sure I did, but you can hear it again. Yeah. I have a lot of stories how I can't cook. If you'll know, my other beautiful daughter, Anna's here, you'll notice my whole family's very, very thin and trim. It's because their mother cannot cook. You know, I'm the one who would bring the 5-pound bag of carrots, run into the van, get in the car, we're going to be late for school. Here, divide up the carrots. Not peeled, nothing. Everybody take 4 carrots, go to school. And there's your lunch. It's good for you. But I decided to have the deacon's wives over to my house for a bit of a tea party. And so I had it all set up and all there. And I was going to blow dry my hair crunchy. If you notice how calm my hair is this year, you know how it was crazy last year? Some of you didn't recognize me. I thought I'd go for this look this year. I don't know. I don't know if I like it or not, but I'm trying it. But I was doing the crunchy gel look. And so I was going to blow dry it right before they came and crunch it all up. Well, I forgot my daughter had taken my blow dryer to school. Yeah, did I tell this before to you? You're going to know. So I thought, well, that's okay. I'll put the heater on. And then I'll kneel in front of the vent. And as the, you know how we do. And as the heat comes out, we'll scrunch it like this. So I turned the heat on and scrunched my hair. And it did come out pretty nice. But the whole house smelled like that. What is that smell? What is that smell that comes out of the heater? Is it dust? Isn't that gross? Is that what's in our heaters? Oh, and the whole house smelled like that. So I thought, I want my house to smell nice. So I went and got my apple scent from Bath and Body Works, and I sprayed it all over my house. And then looked, it was Raid. Thought, oh no, they're both red cans. What happened? So now my whole house smells like Raid when they came in. But what do? We're princesses. Come in, sit down. The whole house smells like Raid, and that's fine. And I've never been good at that. For my son Adam's wedding, we had the reception at our home. He got married at the church, and then we have a beautiful yard, and we had everything under the trees all set up and things like that. And it was just beautiful. And I was after the wedding, you know, we're all excited. I was carrying the bowl of potato salad, and I tripped. And the whole thing fell on the floor. Oh, snap. What am I going to do? So I picked it up and ran it through the colander and washed off all the dressing and just then made some more and put it on the table. And nobody died. So that's the moral of that story. What's so bad is I did the same thing at another wedding. So I no longer make potato salad. I no longer make potato salad. Many of you know Dr. Tom Williams. And I've had the privilege, we've had him to come to our home and eat with us. And I know his wife right now, Janine, her and I are our little email friends. And she is just a delight. And they came to eat at our house. And or they were going to come eat at our house. I worked at this was before I got sick and I could work all day. And we had planned to take him out to dinner. There was a revival that week. And so I'm at school, and my husband comes down at lunchtime, and he says, Dr. Williams says he doesn't want to eat that late before he preaches, so he wants to have lunch with us. I thought, okay, that's all right. He said, I got somebody to cover your class. I said, wonderful, yippee, let's go. I said, where are we going to go? He said, Dr. Williams wants to get takeout and eat at our house. And I thought, our house? I didn't know we were going to our house. And like I said, I needed what Elizabeth said because, yeah, I didn't want anybody at my house, but I thought, we'll eat out on the back porch. I had a beautiful screen back porch, just beautiful. So they rode in the car with us because their big fifth wheel was parked in our church parking lot. So they're in the car with us. We're driving home, and we get out of the car, and my son was missionary in Africa. So we had been having a collection of Pampers to send over to Africa. And I forgot them in the back of the truck, and it had rained, and so they had exploded into Mount Vesuvius. So that morning, I had just thrown them out of the truck in a pile. And it had rained again. So we get out of the car, and there is a 6-foot-high pile of swollen diapers. Just pretend you're a princess. Everything's fine. So I thought, let's walk around to the back porch. We're not going to go through the house. Well, that's when I had 2 devil dogs from Hades. And we're walking, and right there in the little path is a pig's head. So I wanted to explain to Dr. Miss Williams, oh, my dog drags dead animals into the yard. Everything's fine. Come with me. So we go around to the back porch, and we get on the back porch, we get in the screen porch, and we're sitting down, and there's a table there, and on the table are 3 pink plates, and there is stuff growing on it because they'd been left there. And so Janine said, oh, and I said, oh, that's cat throw up. I'm growing mold on it for science class. But everything is fine. We ate our lunch. They are the most gracious people in the world. Never said a word. We had horses. I can't ride anymore because my depth perception's so bad, but I had horses, and you know Dr. Williams, he's a cowboy at heart, so he wanted to go see our horses. Well, my devil dog from Hades dig holes all over the yard, so him and Janine are walking hand in hand, and he falls in a hole. It's like, oh, Dr. Williams, here, yes, let me help you out of that hole. Didn't say a word. He gets, we keep walking to the fence. Janine falls in a hole. Like, oh, yes. Yes. Welcome to my home. But I'm willing to work. I'm willing to still have people come over. There isn't anybody who wants to come over, but I still have people over. I still love to have people over. I still enjoy company. I love working. I told you last year, I love working the nursery. My job, when I have nursery, I think, yippee. First place I go, if you remember, Starbucks. Iced Thai Chi light Latte Light Ice Venti. I get my ice. I get my laptop. I tell all the mommies, oh, come on in. Come on in. Oh, sweet little babies. I turn my laptop on. I surf the net. I drink my coffee. And when the invitation starts, I change everybody and hand them to their mom and say, they were perfect. I love nursery. I love nursery. I'm ending it now. I can't do everything. I can't do everything. But I can have a heart that's stirred. I can have a heart that's wise. And I can have a heart that's willing to work for my wonderful, marvelous Savior.